afternoon and welcome to MoneyWeb at midday with myself, Nastasia Arendse. It's just gone 12 o'clock on the dot. Coming up, we're going to be looking at Kumba Iron Ore's full year results. I'll be speaking to Themba Mkhwanazi, who's the CEO of the company. They delivered revenue, which has improved greatly. And now he's going to be talking about the Sishen mine and the new mining plan that they've implemented there, as well as how he's seeing the iron ore market and developments in China. So we'll play all of that in a bit. And then we'll check in on how the markets are doing with Paul Fischer, who's the portfolio manager at Unum Capital. Lots of stuff happening on Sens. We'll be talking about that, including perhaps Harmony Gold's interim numbers, Exxaro as well. They've declared a special dividend, and we'll look at Met Air Investments trading statements, Adcock Ingram. They also published a trading statement as well. And we'll also look at the global markets in general. Investors were quite jittery, and the big question was, how long is this going to last for, considering that some of the global shares remain on edge, with mostly Asian markets seeing some gains, and U.S. futures pointing to opening losses. So we'll talk all about with Paul Fischer, who's the portfolio manager at Unum Capital. But first up, here's the interview I had with Themba Mkhwanazi, the CEO of Kumba Iron Ore.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors through our Click and Advisor offering. Advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. Get everything you need to know by joining our free webinar on February the 27th at 11 a.m. Go to www.moneyweb.co.za to secure your spot.
It's just gone 12 minutes after 12. Kumba published their full year results, and a 15 Rand a share final dividend was declared. I spoke to Themba Mkhwanazi, who is the CEO of the company.
It was a very, very good year for us. We saw significant improvements in terms of our safety and performance, where we were fatality free for the year, with a significant reduction in high potential incidents and also in our recordables. Both the operation Sishen and Kolomela performed exceptionally well, which resulted in total production increasing 8% to 45 million tons. And on the sales and marketing front, despite the severe weather disruptions in the first half, we were able, to increase our volumes by about 6%. And of course, all of this has bode well on the financial front, where revenue has increased 14% to 46 billion. Our EBIT went up to 19 billion, an increase of about 6%. And our headline earnings growth of 12% to 9.7 billion or 30 rand and 47 cents per share. And we were able, through the board, to declare final dividend of 15 rand per share, which resulted in full year dividend of 30.97.
What's your assessment of the iron ore market? A lot of analysts were talking about it towards the latter part of last year. How are you reading that market and also China as well?
We would say that clearly it's being bought by the stronger steel prices. A lot of that has to do with some of the regulatory steps that the Chinese government has taken in terms of shutting down what they would probably deem unenvironmentally friendly capacity. Mm. That has therefore led for the bigger mills to clearly go for the higher quality products, and that bodes well for us, because we are a niche player, and that's the area that we play in. We have seen this rise in demand because of obviously of the infrastructure investment of about 6 to 7%. That has come also on an environment where seaborne supply has moderated, which obviously then drives for higher prices. And we are now of the view that when you look at 2018, it's likely to be a tale of two halves, but slightly stronger prices in the first half, but then tapering off in the second half in a range of about $60 to $70 per ton, which is higher than what we had said in the past.
All right. In which regions are you seeing the most demand for your iron ore? Is it more is it China, or is it more the Europe, Middle East?
Yeah. So China probably makes up about 60% of our sales, and then the remainder is a combination of the rest of Southeast Asia and Europe. The good news, and again, which is reflected in these numbers, is that we have seen more of our products going to Europe, and it's gone up to the pre-global financial crisis levels. So that's very, very positive. That's really been a combination of the Semanco incident, which obviously had impacts on volumes, but also the hard work that our marketing teams have been doing in terms of the sales to Europe and also the MENA region.
In your sense statement, when it comes to Sishen Mine, you talk of a new mine plan and the ongoing implementation of the operating model. What results have you seen as a result of this implementation?
Well, it's been significant. I mean, if you just look at, for example, our key waste moving fleets, there's been something in the order of between 50 and 60% improvements in productivity. We've also seen a significant improvement of in excess of about 80% in terms of mine to plan compliance. And of course, that has boded well, you know, both from a production perspective and also from a waste moving perspective.
What's your outlook for the year going forward?
We remain positive. We've clearly guided similar numbers to the one that we have put in for. So we have achieved for 2017. So it's quite positive in terms of the outlook. Clearly, we are not resting on our laurels. We're still focused on more improvements in terms of our current asset base, but also looking at, obviously, growing the asset base through the leveraging of our technology, and specifically the UHDMS, which allows us to treat low-grade stockpiles to high-grade products, and what we're doing in terms of our exploration activities.
That's Themba Mkhwanazi, who is the CEO of Kumba Iron Ore. Just gone 8 minutes after 12. Joining me on the line is Paul Fischer, who's a portfolio manager at Unum Capital. And we're going to be talking about how the markets are trading thus far. Paul, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So how are we looking?
Markets up again today. We've had a few sort of positive days now after a few negative days last week as a result of the flash crash in the States. Things looking, I think last week provided a buying opportunity. I think it's time to buy stocks.
Okay. So did you have a look at Sens? There were lots of stuff that was out. Harmony Gold, Adcock Ingram, Cap Industrial. There's the Exxaro special dividend. Which one of those did you sink your teeth into?
Well, we really like Cap Industrial. It obviously came out with unaudited results yesterday. We think it's a good play on the local economy, especially in light of what's happening politically at the moment. Hopefully, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we'll get some more good news. But we like a diversified industrial company. We think links to Steinhoff International provided a bit of a buying opportunity, and obviously the fall in the markets last week. And I think it's providing good value. It's on a forward PE of around 13. We like it, in light of being bullish around SA growth.
All right. What do you make of the sell-off that, that happened last week? Do you think that we're out of the woods yet, or it's all dependent on that inflation number that's coming out tomorrow from the U.S.?
Look, there's been a lot of obviously. I think you know, there's a few things that play here. One is obviously speculation in terms of low volatility that's been in the markets for the last two or so years, and obviously that caused a bit of inefficiencies in the markets where a lot of money was chasing low volatility. And then sort of worries about inflation came out, worries about the state having to raise interest rates quicker than they thought came into effect, and volatility rose, and it caused a sort of almost a short squeeze out of the market, which obviously caused a panic. And I think it probably made everything a little bit worse than it should have been. So I think the reaction was worse than it would have been if there wasn't so much money short volatility. So I think it was more of a technical crash than anything based on fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the concern is still that the states will be forced to raise rates, and even Europe will be forced to raise rates quicker than previously thought. But we had such low interest rates that really, you know, I think it's going to take a few rate raises before that becomes a problem. And obviously, you know, the inflation's still low. So inflation might be picking up a little bit, but it's still globally at a very low level. So I think we're still in this Goldilocks environment for a while. But yes, there are concerns there. And I think that sort of manifested in the markets last week. We had volatility spiking to 50. The VIX went to 50 from a level of around 10, which is unprecedented. But really just from inefficiencies in the market.
All right. I think last week we also ended off the week where it was a 361 report that circulated talking about the resilient group. Do you see that theme trickling into this week, or perhaps even the Viceroy Capitec thing, or are we all just looking back saying, well, let's see if we still have a president, so let's focus on that and then we'll deal with the markets a little later on?
Yes, yeah, look, I think there's a bit of recency bias in the market now. What that means is, and you have an unlikely event, people sort of think the probability of that happening is bigger than it should be. And obviously after Steinhoff International, there's a bit of recency bias, and that causes fear. And obviously stocks can overreact quite extensively in the short term. Regarding property stocks, look, we haven't liked property stocks in general for a while. And that's mainly due to the fact that bond yields are so low offshore. So local bond yields are a little bit more attractive, and there's a little bit of fat still. There's a little bit of political risk premium still in our bond yields, but globally, and if you look at a lot of our property stocks, they invested particularly in Eastern Europe now, and they're just offering, well, up till recently, weren't offering any good yields. So for us, look, we've been underway property for the last while for a while now, around 2 years, and we don't like the sector. Not commenting specifically on any companies, and I haven't read the 361 report.
Yeah.
We're staying away from property for fundamental reasons at the moment.
Okay, cool. So what key piece of information will you be looking out for the rest of the week?
Well, hopefully today at 2 o'clock we get some good news around the ANC's decision on Zuma and what's going to be happening there. That's obviously very good. And then obviously unemployment numbers coming out. They should have been out already, but I haven't seen them get released yet. So we're waiting for that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously looking at the US inflation data, things like that. It's obviously important to keep the finger on the pulse there. But like I said, we're not too concerned at the numbers at the moment. It's more looking at the trend and what's happening there. And if it starts to get out of control, time to sell stocks, I think. But for the moment, it's looking pretty positive still globally. IMF still forecasted growth at 3.9% this year. Nothing fundamentally has changed on that. So we just, you know, if you get further pullbacks, I think it's time to upweight in stocks for now anyway. Further fundamental changes.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I was watching an interview, I think probably yesterday on Bloomberg, and they were talking about the volatility that we saw last week. And the guy who was being interviewed, he mentioned that, you know, based on the current market conditions, they do provide opportunities given that some of the asset classes remain overvalued. But he is of the view that because of what's happening, there could be opportunities somewhere else, perhaps emerging markets. Do you share that view as well, that perhaps there could be value somewhere?
Yeah, look, I mean, markets have globally retraced around 10%, give or take, over the course of last week. The JSE, including big international markets and including sort of that emerging market. Emerging markets, funnily enough, actually didn't correct as much as developed markets markets did last week. So I still think, yes, I think we are overweight emerging markets still. So we've been overweight emerging markets for a while. We still think there's a lot of value there. And in light of where we are in the economic cycle, you know, ostensibly we should be later on in the cycle right now, and that's generally attractive for more sort of aggressive investments, more risk taking, which generally favors emerging markets. So we like emerging markets. Look, dividend yields, if you look at sort of Schiller, you know, if you look at the US market, the Schiller-CAPE ratio, you know, it's on the expensive side in terms of from an adjusted PE point of view, but we still think that where we are in the market with the kind of synchronized growth, we got the fundamentals that are coming through, that there's value. We still like the resource counters. So if you look at Kumba's results today, fairly good. Pretty much in line with forecast with consensus, but we still think, you know, it growth forecast at a 3.9% for the you know, global growth, that you know, that's going to filter into a stock like that that's extremely cyclical. So we still like the cyclicals. We think the cyclicals will obviously benefit from this upswing still, and that includes obviously the miners and the resources. And then, you know, obviously there's value in South Africa. I think you can look at the diversified industrials, the mid caps, the small caps. You know, the small cap index on the JSE at the moment is over 4% dividend yield. That offers decent value. Mid cap index is about 3.7% dividend yield. So, you know, those are offering value. I think, you know, if you look at the big sort of rampage, massive market cap stocks on our exchange, probably not much value there, but definitely on the mid cap and small cap side. You can start picking up content.
All right, Paul. Thank you so much for your time. That's Paul Fischer, a portfolio manager at Unum Capital, rather. That's it from me, Anastasia Arendt. So tune in later on the SAFA Market Update, where we'll have David Shapiro taking us through the day's market performance.